To have your Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to talk to you this evening about a very simple subject. The title's simple. If there's anything complicated about it, it's because we complicate it. One word. Separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, begin reading with verse number 14. Verse 14 has enough in it just to stay right there for a message or two. But we're going to look down a little bit further at verse number 17. Verse 14 beginning, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with dark or unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." It's a simple thought, really, as I said. Sometimes we complicate things. We can debate things. And in the midst of our debate, we can change things. But as we look at God's Word as a whole, we will find, beginning in the Old Testament, that God created and established a covenant with his people, a covenant relationship with his people. Go back into the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. You can find it in Prophet Ezekiel's book, in chapter 37. You'll find it in various places other than these two about the covenant relationship between God and his people. It's a covenant that he holds very dear. It's a covenant that he has held his end of the bargain, even when, humanly speaking, he didn't have a right to, or didn't have a need to, or not a right, that's not what I'm looking for as such, but a demand. And so, though the other side of the covenant had been broken time and time again, but God still upheld his end of the bargain, his end of the covenant. Not only did he establish a covenant way back, even with Abraham, or Abram at that time, but he renewed the covenant from time to time, or he reinstated the covenant with various ones. To keep the covenant alive, it had to be passed on. For people to understand, they had to be told, and that's why we find in so many passages, especially, I believe, in Deuteronomy, where it talks and tells us of the importance of transferring what we know and believe over to our children. And that goes for the covenant relationship. God wants his people to understand, and following generations to know, that the sum of it all is that he wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his people. And in that, there had to be a separation. We can go again back into Genesis to the covenant relationship with Abram. When God called Abram, he called Abram to separate himself physically from his family, from his moorings, from his beginnings, from all that was familiar to him. We also find that as we study this separation and this covenant relationship with God, that there's also a separation that comes religiously. In Christendom today, all across the world, that separation is breaking down. You and I have to keep it in mind, though, that that relationship of separation religiously must be maintained. I don't really think that we could say it too often in our own ranks to remind ourselves within our own circles that Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. I know some people that got carried away and they've become known as Jesus-only people, but in one context, we better be Jesus-only people, where we realize that Jesus is the only way for salvation. When God had and called for this covenant relationship between Himself and His people, He wanted them to be different. A people that were set apart. A people that when looking at from a distance, they were able to be determined to be Israelites, Hebrews. I don't fully understand that necessarily because I can't really picture in my mind the difference in dress that they had in those days. It seemed like they all had very similar way of dressing, but there were some differences, and I still can't picture it, even though I've had drawings before me and people's ideas. But somehow along the line, people knew who they were. People knew who they were. Well, say some of them could have been known or understood because they were of short stature and compared to some others. Well, yeah, that may be, but I believe that it was recognizable. Easily recognizable, not so much from their stature, but from who they were. We study Old Testament passages, and we'll find that God was very interested in detail. I like to look at the veil of the temple and the detail, the intricate detail involved with that. And God laid it out, the dress that He required of the priest. Not just simple patterns or not just simple form, but He laid out in detail, some of it very meticulous detail that needed to be followed. Another point of detail can be found in the very first part of Leviticus chapter 10. A detail that we could argue about and could be argued about, and apparently they debated it then some, at least some people debated it then. And the story is in Leviticus chapter 10 that there were two priests that brought in some fire. And it tells us in that section of Scripture that it was false fire. And God sent fire from heaven and consumed the two priests that brought in false fire. What in the world is false fire? Isn't fire fire? How did they bring in false fire? That's not a point of concern. But a point of concern is that God said no to that and God said yes to what they should have done. And when they failed to obey in the detail, God took care of business with them. Picky, picky, picky. Separation, covenant relationship. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Why must we separate ourselves? Why must we be separate from people around us? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus understands the separation that is required in the covenant relationship with God. Jesus was telling us that we cannot have a relationship with God when the world or man still has a hold in our life. We can't understand that God wants us for Himself. James chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, again, the theological part or the depths of the meaning of that are questioned today and debated today. What does friendship mean? But it does go back. I think to get an answer, we can go back to Matthew 6:24. We cannot serve God and mammon. Why must we separate? Because we cannot serve two masters. Why must we separate? Because we belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? That verse could be framed and put on the inside of our eyelids, couldn't it? For us to be able to see and to remember over and over again that we do not belong to ourselves, we belong to God. The next verse says, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. His. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. The sons of God, the people of God. And if we are the children of God, then we should resemble Him. And that resemblance to Him is going to put a separation between us and a resemblance of the world. Third reason why we must be separate is because we are Christ's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador. An authorized representative. Representative. Usually it's considered a representative from one government to another or one nation to another. One nation to another. This world to that world. We are an ambassador of Jesus Christ who lives in the other world and His home is in the other world. And that is supposed to be our home. We're just passing through this home. We are an ambassador here. A representative. Luke 24, verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Now you look at that passage, you'll know that these things are talking about in the previous two verses of Christ's sufferings, His death, His resurrection, and that repentance is to be preached and the remission of sins is to be preached. We are an ambassador of another country representing another gospel, something that this world needs to hear and to understand. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, the blood cleanses from all sin. We are to be separate because we are His representatives. We are to be separate because Christ commands us to be. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it's a verse that I use often. Probably to some it's too often, but it's still a verse that is there that I believe we must maintain. Be not conformed to this world, or be not fashioned by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what is being told to us. Not conformity to this world, not fashioned to this world, but a separation that takes place. The text verse that we've already looked at, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, this is straightforward, the love of the Father is not in him. It just doesn't go together, does it? No man can serve two masters. The love of the world. The next verse talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. We must be separate. Why does he separate us? What is the purpose? What does he have in mind? What is the reasoning behind this separation? Well, first of all, we can look at an Old Testament passage, and some may argue that it's not necessarily fitting, but let's look at it for a moment anyway. Numbers 16:9. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Let your mind wheels turn, and you're probably realizing that that verse is speaking about the tribe of Levi. Those that were called to be separated from the rest of the tribes, the rest of the people, to be priests unto God. So someone may say, well, that's not necessarily fitting because I'm not the pastor, I'm not the preacher. But then when you realize that Jesus tells us, that New Testament tells us, that we as children of God become priests. That we become that minister in our place. That as a minister in our little place or in our large place, it doesn't matter where we are, our place of ministry, our use of the gifts that God has given us, we are to be separate. We are to be separate, separated, so that we can draw near to him. He wants us to be drawn to him. He wants us to come near unto himself. He wants us to be separate to do our work. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It's another message. But what is your calling? What is your gift? What does God ask you to do? You can't do it fully unless you have been separated from whatever would hinder you to do that work. Separate unto me Saul, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Is there something that we can do? Is there something that we need to do? How can we separate ourselves? Why must we be separate? We've given four reasons why. We've given a couple of things here as to why does he separate us. But what is there on our part? What is there that we can do? Jesus tells us in Luke 14:33 that our part would be that we forsake others. It's pretty radical. It's pretty rigid. It's rather right-winged. But listen to what he said. So likewise, whosoever be, or he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he can't be my disciple. We will find that as Jesus talks in that line, in these parables, that it's so much, so radical that we have to separate ourselves even from family, that we have to love him more than family. We have to be committed to him even more than family. And if we can't be committed to him to that point, then we are not and cannot be his disciple. The second thing that we can do, Mark chapter 8, verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Have you ever done anything with balsam wood? You know, back in the day, probably did a VBS project with balsam wood, perhaps. It's been years since I've seen anybody do anything with balsam wood. You know, if I had a cross that I had to carry around with me, I'd want it made out of balsam. I don't want it made out of water-soaked ash or oak. I want it to be made out of balsam. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we would choose? If we were on one of those cross crusades, carrying our cross across the country, we'd want it to be as light as possible and probably a wheel on the back of it too. A good ball-bearing wheel. Plenty of grease in it. Daniel could rig us up something, I'm sure. Might even rig up a thing off the front and put a wheel on it too, so all we had to do was balance it. Why am I saying that? It's because so often we want to go the easy route. It's in my philosophy. It was ingrained in my philosophy while I was working in the factory that it's not the benefit isn't to work harder, it's to work smarter. I like that. I didn't want to work harder. Spiritually, though, I don't believe that there's any way that we can get around the weight of the responsibility, the call that Jesus places on us, that we carry our cross. It's not a select choice of wood that we can choose. It's not the option of rigging it up so that it is lighter or easier to carry or to push or to balance or any of those things, but it's a cross that we must carry. What kind of a cross? Well, we're told that that cross represents reproach, that cross represents shame, that cross represents a difference in this world, a separation in this world. We must carry our cross, deny ourselves. The third thing that we can do is even more so radical, perhaps, than the previous two. I don't think that there's any one of us here that has ever acted on this radical description of being separate. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, "And if thy hand offend thee, separate it from your body." Cut it off. I don't know which one I want to do without, do you? If our hand offend thee, it is better for us to make it to heaven without a hand than have both hands and be cast into a fire that is never quenched. That's a pretty radical description of separation, isn't it? But isn't that really what God commands? Isn't that what Jesus is telling us to do? That if there's something that is keeping us from being the Christian that he wants us to be, that we need to separate ourselves from that. We need to separate us ourselves from that. We are to cut it away. Could I meddle a little bit there? Where could I meddle there? Does your mind go anywhere where a person could meddle a little bit about cutting things off that might need to be separated because they prevent us from living a Christian or a godly life? But that's exactly what Jesus is telling us, that we have to be radical in our separation, that there's a change that takes place, and we have to be serious about what we're doing, that if we want to make it to heaven, we're going to have to separate ourselves from those things that hinder. Set your mind on things above, something else that we can do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What verse goes with that? What verse goes with that? Isn't there a verse that says something about our treasure and our heart? Set your affection. One thing that stood out to me in that verse is that affection is not plural. I don't know if it has any meaning there or any significance there or not, but it seems to me that the word affection is not plural because it's speaking of one thing, and that is the seat of our affection. Not the multiplicity of our affections, not all of the branches that we may have in our affection, but the very seat, the very heart, the very mind. That our heart and our mind be on those things that are above. I could meddle there too, couldn't I? I could meddle personally there. Because turkey season's just around the corner. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, again, another verse that just, I know I've shared it before. It's a verse that stood out in my mind for a number of years. It's been imprinted on my fingers from writing it over and over again in school. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The seat of our affection. The fifth thing, how do we separate ourselves? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Things that we can do to separate ourselves. Whatsoever we do in word or deed. Does that put new light on your life? Does that give a reflection in your mind at all about the detail of our separation? That every word that comes out of our mouth? A couple of few years ago, I don't know how long it's been, Jonathan and I were turkey hunting. Make a long story short, let me leave out a whole bunch of the details that my wife would be pleased that I leave out. Came away from that hunt and I said to Jonathan, and I said, Jonathan, that may have been the most unwise choice that I've ever made as a pastor. You say, what are you talking about? Now you got our interest pricked and we need to know some details. Had permission to hunt somewhere and somebody else had first dibs. And we got there first. They came right at time to get set up for turkey hunting. I explained to them what the situation was and they said, well, the place is big enough. If you hunt over there, we'll be fine over here where we want to hunt. It's no big deal. Season was hardly underway. The sun wasn't even up, and the turkey flew down and came right to our setup, and we were out of there before the sun ever peeked its head over the hill. Most unwise choice I ever made as a pastor, huh? Wow. We're supposed to give God glory even in all of our deeds. I never dreamed that it was going to happen that way. I was looking forward to a good morning just to sit and watch and observe and think, well, because that's where I wanted to go, where they wanted to go. And they had first dibs, so I, you know, sure. Well, you guys can stay. It's fine. No big deal. Please, don't go. It's getting late. And So we consented to stay and thought we're just going to observe from across the field. And it didn't happen that way. So what do you do? I guess, hopefully, learn from my mistakes and realize that all of my deeds, all of my words, no, I couldn't have passed it up. I would have had to have walked away before. But isn't that what Jesus is saying? Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, even if it is to your detriment or to your loss, do all to glorify him. I believe that that's what he's saying. Now on the plus side, simply put for tonight, he shall be thy God. He shall be thy God. He wants us to be his people. He wants to be our God. Separate ourselves. Come out and separate so that we can be his and he ours. Let's stand together tonight. Willing, we'll see you Wednesday. I hope you have a good week. The Lord's blessings be upon you. Praise the Lord. Melissa, would you dismiss us in prayer?